Want proof? Take a look. In Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. This is what sets up the context for Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit fell, right? They were all together in one place. Well, what were they doing all together in one place? Just sitting there? Go back to Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. And then move forward into Acts 6:4. When the apostles are sorting out their priorities for ministry, what do they say? We will give our attention to two things. What's the first mentioned? Prayer and the ministry of the Word. In his good book, Approaching God, Steve Brown describes this dynamic as a family kind of thing. The dynamic of God being when his there when, in a special way when his children are together. I really like that. Because God loves the unity of his children praying together. I think it makes him smile. It's a little like, since you're all here, what do you want to do? What do you want to do together? Where do you want to go? Let's do something. Let's make something happen. When Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also said, when y'all pray. Jesus was a southerner too, you know. But, I mean, that is, again, it's when you all pray. It's in the plural. There's that expectation of plurality. It's a family kind of thing, because isn't our asking better sincerely when we pray for each other than when we're self-focused? Think about that. It does us so much good to hear someone pray for us, pleading for the very thing that lays heavy on our heart. We don't want to miss this. We need this. It makes a difference in the depth of love we have for each other. It draws us closer to know others are really carrying our burdens and that they're going to be praying for us when they go off into their individual lives during the week. And you know what else? It also makes a difference. I mean, talking about brothers and sisters. With my brothers, you know, it was before the age of minivans, and we just had this car seat, and there were three of us, and it was like, you know, we all had our space. Sort of, and as the youngest, I often was in the middle for some reason. At least I felt, you know, the horrible injustice of it. But I was like, he's in my space. You remember that? I think one of Rebecca Raspit's kids, if you remember, Rebecca had the best comment on this. She said about her brother, he's breathing my air. But the great thing about praying together is that it's very hard to be snarky with someone and out of sorts with that person sitting there praying right beside you when you know that Jesus is sitting right in the middle telling you to grow up and knock it off. It makes a huge difference in how we love each other in so many ways. I want to wrap up with a story from Steve Brown's book where he talks about doing what we will be doing next Sunday evening, about having a prayer time together with a special emphasis upon healing. And his church had never done it before. And because they did, you know, for the first time, he had to kind of set it up, and that was an interesting circumstance for him. So I'm going to try to find it here. I should have marked it beforehand. Carrie and I drove back from Wilmington this morning. And so, okay. Where was I? Da, 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 da. Okay, almost there. Here we go. It's the page I'd folded over. It has been said that Presbyterians have to be careful how they do something for the first time because they're going to be doing it that way for the next 200 years. So it took some convincing to persuade the elders that the plan was of God. Before we instituted the services, I taught for a number of weeks about what the Bible says about God's people praying for the sick. I explained to the congregation that things would be done decently and in order. I did say, referring to a dear lady who was a paraplegic, if Patty gets out of that wheelchair, however, I will speak in tongues. The healing services took place at Holy Communion. People came forward to receive the elements of communion, and those who desired prayer from the elders would remain. The elders would, in teams, go to those people, anoint them with oil, and pray for them. I asked those who were not being prayed for to quietly remain in their seats and pray for those who were being anointed by the elders. The response to these services was astounding. In the first service of the auditorium, the first service in the auditorium was packed, and we ran out of anointing oil. The service was, of course, Presbyterian, but you could hear people quietly weeping in their pews as they prayed for their brothers and sisters. The experience of God's presence in those services was so real that at any moment I fully expected to hear the rustle of angels' wings. We saw God's amazing answers to prayer. A little girl scheduled for surgery was examined just before the surgery, and the problem had disappeared. A man who had suffered with arthritis for almost 20 years was completely healed. His wife told me, he is usually the skeptic, but I keep asking him, are you sure? Are you sure it's gone? We saw people recover from health problems, spiritual struggles, and relational difficulties that had existed for years. But here is the important thing for the purposes of this talk. All of the people who were prayed for in those services had been prayed for before. But when the family of God prayed together, there was an amazing and wonderful visitation of God. God was teaching us something important. He was teaching us to pray together. He was teaching us that he bends down low and listens to the sound of his people praying together. God always hears when his faithful children pray. But when we pray together, it is music to his ears. In fact, that is the meaning of the word agree that Jesus uses right back here. The word in the Greek is symphoneo. It's the root of our English word symphony. When we get together to pray, it's as if God says, my family's home, and I'm going down there, and we're going to do something. And when he does, the party starts. Because then we as a church get to point to not what we did, not our building, not our programs, not our preacher, not anything, but what only God can do. And oh, that is a sweet place for us to be. Because God gets all the glory and we don't want to miss it. People are helped and healed Souls are saved and set free. Hearts are changed. Marriages restored. Addictions are broken. Oh, what happens when Jesus walks into the room? Together. We are the temple. And He is here. May we pray. In the bulletin, our desire was to move the praying together time to the very end after the sermon. So if you're wondering if we missed it, we haven't. Because we don't want to miss it. Lord Jesus, we want to see You, to see Your hand move. And it's not about us and what we want. It's so much more. It is about You being our future and our hope. And the beautiful thing about coming to our Father is that Jesus said, and He's the first one who said it, that we can come to Him as Abba, Father. And that's a word a small child used in his culture. And that means we can come to Him as small children. That means God isn't concerned with the words we use. Father, we praise You that we can come. And You are a God of mercy. Maybe you've been far away this morning and you just long to come home to Him. Tell Him that. Maybe you've never received Him before. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could have a home, not just in heaven, yes, there, but even here where He will be at home in our hearts. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like Him. And if you tell Him, yes, Lord, I want that. I want You. I'm tired of running things. I've messed it up. Forgive me. I receive You. Come in. Oh, He will. And together, as brothers and sisters, we can come before Him and just love Him and love each other. So this morning, as we bow for just a moment, we're not going to use a lot of words. As a matter of fact, we're going to use one word. That's going to be a challenge, maybe for some of us, but we're going to use one word. Maybe it's a name. Maybe it's a challenge. The Lord knows. Maybe it's a praise you want to lift up. Let's do that for a moment. Let's look to Him. Let's look for Him. Stephanie.
Jim.
George.
Brian.
Salvation. love. Hope. Let's continue in a spirit of prayer as we sing our last hymn and just continue to lift up these needs.